Father God, may we today listen to your voice and do as you are calling each one of us to do. Because we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Imagine a time when the stock market was hitting 15,000 points. A time where any type of goods seemed affordable and reachable. Everybody had enough, or so it seemed. The land was at peace, and the people had good jobs and the ability to move around freely. People were investing in things. Buying and selling was going at an incredible rate. There was a fairly stable government. The cities were well protected by walls and big gates, and the army was doing very well. These were the times of the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahab, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and Jeroboam, king of Israel, the longest reigning king of the northern kingdom, a time when the messengers of the Lord spoke to God's people. Good times, prosperous times. It seemed like they were going back to David and Solomon's time, when the kingdom was united, when everything was going well. But they did not know that they were so far away from God. And God, in his infinite love, had to send men to tell his people to return to him, to know him, because it seemed that they had forgotten. In the coming weeks, I would like to study with you a group of books known as the Minor Prophets, small books that you have probably read, but that have an important message for us who live today in this time. Why do I think it's important? Because it's a prophetic message. It's a message from God. A message that God sent to his people in a time that mirrors a lot our times. It looks a lot like our times. A message that was sent to all his people so that they would go back and know him and have a relationship with him. These books are important because they also paint a picture of God that we rarely see when we study the Old Testament. A God who lets you and I make our own decisions. Choose if we want to serve him or not. So today, I begin with this series, and I would like to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea. A prophet, a man of God, a messenger of the Lord. As a church, we are in the process of looking for a senior pastor. And Dan Houghton, our first elder, has been communicating with our conference, the Southeastern California Conference. We've already organized our search committee, and they will be sending us names of pastors in this conference so that we can interview them. Now, imagine if Southeastern California Conference, the administrators, would give us the name of Hosea, son of Barry. Would we interview him? Would we consider him to be a possible candidate for the Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist Church? I believe that many churches in this conference would even have a hard time inviting him to preach. They would say, "Administrators, we recommend you tell Hosea to take care of his family problems. And maybe later when he has that settled, maybe he could go to another state and preach there. This would be our recommendation for Hosea." What was Hosea asked to do? What was this man of God asked to do? He was asked to marry an unfaithful woman. A woman who was going around with different boyfriends, like Gabby read. Different men. Now, there's nothing unique about that. The news, if you've been listening, politicians, sports figures, even religious figures. We've heard. But what was unique about this was that God was asking Hosea to do this. God was telling Hosea, go marry an unfaithful woman. Now, don't go out there and marry somebody like that, okay? Remember, Hosea was listening to God. God was telling him to do that. But I imagine Hosea felt just like Abraham when God told him, "Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son." I can imagine Hosea feeling like Peter when God told Peter in a dream, "Peter, I want you to eat of those animals." And Peter said, "God, but those are unclean animals. We don't eat that." I can see Hosea feeling like the prophet Jonah when asked to go to Nineveh, this evil city, a city that had destroyed the northern kingdom. And Jonah saying, "God, you want me to go there?" Hosea was saying, "God, I hear your voice. I know it is you speaking to me, but it doesn't seem logical. It doesn't seem you would ask me to do this. In fact, the world wouldn't ask me to do this. And they have no standards." The situation had gotten so bad that extreme measures needed to be taken. In fact, Hosea wasn't the only prophet speaking at the time. Amos was also a prophet during that same time. Micah was another prophet during that same time. Isaiah was a prophet during that same time. These were people, men of God, messengers of the Lord, that were speaking to both nations, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. From the names of the king that we read in, oh, we haven't read, so let's go there. Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel." From these kings, King Hezekiah comes out, doesn't it? Do you remember his story? A man who was sick, a man who asked for a sign, a man who received a sign that the sundial would go backwards, not forwards. Even forwards would have been a miracle, but it went backwards. And Hezekiah was saved from his sickness. Now, when the Babylonians heard about this, They came, and Hezekiah, instead of telling them of what God had done for him, he showed him what? All his treasures. His nice big shields of gold that Solomon had constructed. The nice houses, the winter house, the summer house. But God wanted to tell his people something very special. And the way he found how he would say this was through Hosea and through his family. Let us read verses 2 and on. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredom and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to seize the kingdom of the house of Israel. I found this interesting, that in his book, Hosea would mention his wife, his children. Does anybody know the wife of Peter? Or of John? Or if they had children? That's information we don't get from all these people of the Bible. But for Hosea, we know his wife's name, and we know his children's name. You see, God was going to use Hosea's family to share an important news to his people. It was a sermon on shoes, or with shoes. A sermon that begins once you step off that pulpit. A sermon you and I are called to share on a daily basis. Jesus himself said, and they will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another. So the first message was through Hosea's first son, Jezreel. And Jezreel means God plants. It's this valley in the northern kingdom, a valley known for many wars, for many battles. And in this valley, there's two mountains. One is Megiddo, and we've heard the word Harmageddon. That's where it comes from that valley. And there's the other city called Jezreel. And these were two famous cities that were there. But something happened there. Jehu had been called to slaughter the house of Ahaz, because it had done what was evil before the Lord. And Jehu got a little too excited. He went and said, well, I need some help. And he got some men to go inside the city. And he grabbed all of Ahaz's children and he chopped their heads off. Then he threw them over the wall and just rolled down the hill. And then he knew that he had people inside the city that were willing to help him with this task. He got so excited that he continued just killing as many people he thought would go against him. Well, God had said so. I'm supposed to do this. But what Jehu did was evil before God. Because not only did he take things into his hands, but he also followed after idols. And if Jehu thought that he could get away with it, and Ahaz couldn't, he was wrong. He was wrong. God said, I will punish your kingdom as well. I will punish it for the evil things that you have done. Verse 6. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Loruhamah, for I will have no mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. I will have no more compassion. I will have no more pity. Verse 7, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. In Hebrew, it literally says, I am. Who is I am? God. And it says, I am not for you. I don't exist for you. This was the message that Hosea had to bring to the people. I could see them saying, Hosea, you are crazy. Leave her alone. She doesn't love you. Look at what Gomer is doing. She's embarrassing you. She's putting you to shame. What are you doing? And Hosea saying, what I'm doing is what God is doing for you. What I am doing for my wife is what God is doing for you. Now it's easy for parents. I want to say I'm not a parent. But it's easy for parents to love their children. Amen? It's natural. It's natural for parents to love their children. Now, the other relationship between a husband and a wife, between two people who pretty much got to know each other about 6 years ago, two different parents, two different places where you grew up, two different places where you went to school, everything pretty much very different from what you grew up doing, and then you marry that person. You love that person. No wonder you have to make a contract. No wonder we sign before a judge or before a congregation, before witnesses, before God. It's just like illogical, right? Why should I love her and why should she love me? I mean, we grew up in totally different places. And Hosea was asked of God to continue loving Gomer, even if she had broken the covenant, that contract, that agreement to be his wife. Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 on. Things had gotten really bad. The children now were calling, Mom, come back home. Mom, come on, come back home. What are you doing over there? And she did not listen. But in verse 14, it tells us how God would try to bring his people back. And I read, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, my husband, and shall call me no more Baali, my master. For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beast of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yes, I will remarry you unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even marry you unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to him, which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Amen. A message of mercy. A message of hope. A message of love. Things didn't get better for Hosea. In fact, it got so bad that Gomer ended up being owned by somebody else. In those days, if you didn't have to pay your debt, you would give your house, you would give your cattle, you would give whatever to pay your debt. But if for some reason you did not have anything else left, you were sold to that person for a period of 7 years. And you had to work to repay your debt. We don't know who Gomer ended up being sold to. And we don't know how long she was there. But God asked Hosea to get Gomer back. And if you have your Bibles, open them up with me to Hosea chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. Then said the Lord unto me, go, yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an omer of barley and half omer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. Gomer, come back. I want to be your husband. I want to pay your debt. The amount that is mentioned here is 15 shekels. I can see Hosea going to the bank, going to the ATM, going wherever. Hey, I need some money. How much? I need a lot of money. How much? 15 shekels, not enough. I need to go to the kitchen. I'm going to get some barley. I'm going to get what I have. I'm going to empty my fridge out. I need something to trade in for my wife, Gomer. There's stories in the Bible of people who were sold. Remember the story of Joseph? Do you know how much he was sold for? 25 pieces of silver. He was sold for 25 pieces of silver. Do you know of anybody else who was sold in the Bible? Jesus was sold. How much? 30 pieces of silver. The book of Deuteronomy tells us that the price of a slave was 30 pieces of silver. Yes, we sold Jesus into slavery. He became a servant, a slave, says Paul. And Hosea gathered all he had. And he says, this is what I have. And he brought Gomer that day back home. Amen? Now Jesus came to this world, made himself a man, made himself a slave, so that he could pay your debt, my debt, so that we could be free and live with them forever. Amen? Amen. Jesus prayed 30 pieces of silver for 7 billion people today. If they want to, they can be free. If they want to, they can go home. If they want to, they can live differently. He paid the price. Amen. He paid our debt. We do not have to bow down to the idols of this world anymore. We are free. And the promise that was given to the children of Israel, verses 4 and 5. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. No temple, no king. Verse 5. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David, their king. Was David still living? He was long gone. But it says, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Amen? Do we have a message to share to this world, brothers and sisters? Has our ransom been paid? Is there sufficient for everybody? All human beings? Each one of them. There's enough. Even for the whole universe, there is enough. No wonder John in his gospel said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the message you and I have the privilege of sharing to this world. This is a message we have the privilege of living on a day-to-day basis. May God bless each one of us. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn 108. Hymn 108, and I would like to invite you to stand as we sing this beautiful hymn, hymn 100.